So Indra has pleaded his case. Let's see how Krishna responds. Let's see what kind of God Krishna is. Is he going to be some vindictive, mean? Let's see. Let's see if Krishna is worthy of our worship. Shukadeva Goswami continued, thus praised by Indra, Lord Krishna smiled beautifully. Good sign, huh? Smiled beautifully. And then replied in a grave voice like a rumbling cloud. This description is given many times. Even when Narayan speaks to the demigods, the same analogy is used. My dear Indra, I stopped your sacrifice just to show you my causeless mercy and to remind you that I am your eternal master. I am the master not only of you, but of all the demigods as well. And you should always remember that all your material opulences are due to my mercy. Krishna is doing the same thing to me. Krishna is reminding me, you're getting a little too puffed up and carried away. So I'm going to take your throat away. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. You should always remember that all your material opulences are due to my mercy. No living entity can independently become opulent. One must be favored by my mercy. Everyone should always remember that I am the Supreme Lord, and I can show anyone my favor, and I can chastise anyone, because no one is superior to me. If I find someone overpowered by false pride, in order to show him or her my causeless mercy, I withdraw all one's opulences. Later on, towards the end of the Krishna Leela, Krishna says a similar thing to Yudhishthira. This is the time when Krishna's father, Vasudeva, is performing sacrifices. And there's a conversation between Krishna and the sages. And at some point, Krishna tells Yudhishthira, actually, my first installment of mercy is I take everything away from the devotee. Someone may say, oh, that's very cruel. But there is a reasoning behind it. Krishna only does this with somebody who is sincere. If somebody is actually sincere to become a devotee, then Krishna takes away their attachments, which are preventing the devotee to fully surrender. So Krishna says, I take everything away, and if the devotee is a sincere devotee, there's only one conclusion. Krishna save me. Like Draupadi. There she was in that assembly. Her husbands, did they do anything to protect her? No. Dhritarashtra, Bhishma, huh? All these big. Nobody came to protect Draupadi. But she was protected because, hey Govind, she fully surrendered to Krishna. Fully surrendered. And Prabhupada himself said that in his own life, he experienced that verse. Because every time he was just about to become very successful, Krishna smashed. And his last attempt, he had built up a business. And he was thinking, I will get this business, I'll have money, and then I can execute the order of my spiritual master to preach. Then there was a fire. Business wiped out. Prabhupada remembered that verse from Bhagavatam. Harishye tad dhanam shanai. He immediately remembered, yes, now I am finished with all this material stuff. Now I'm simply going to preach and depend on Krishna and see the result. How ISKCON has spread over the past 50 years. Temples everywhere, devotees everywhere. So Krishna had a plan. And one time Prabhupada was speaking to his disciples and he said, I gave up my family, children, wife, because they were not interested in preaching. I had to leave. But now, and he looked at his young disciples, now I have so many children. So he said, if you surrender to Krishna, you're never the loser. Always the winner. Prabhupada now comments. This Krishna has spoken. It is noteworthy that Krishna sometimes removes all of a rich man's opulences in order to facilitate his becoming a soul surrendered to him. This is a special favor of the Lord's. Sometimes it is seen that a person is very opulent materially, but due to one's devotional service to the Lord, he or she may be reduced to poverty. One should not think, however, that because one worshiped the Supreme Lord, he or she became poverty-stricken. The real purport is that when a person is a pure devotee, but at the same time, by miscalculation, wants to lord it over material nature, the Lord shows his special mercy by taking away all material opulences until at last one surrenders unto the Supreme Lord. Classic example, Bali. Even though he was the king of the Daityas, actually, he was devotee. And he had conquered the three worlds. He was sitting on the throne of Indra. But what did Vamana Dev do? I just want 3 steps of land, that's all. And Bali said, you are not very intelligent, young Brahmachari. I can give you your own planet. But Vamanadeva said, no, just 3 steps. If I'm not satisfied with 3 steps, I won't be satisfied even if I have everything. But with 2 steps, he took everything away from Bali. Then the Lord said, so you owe me 1 more step? With 2, I've taken everything. Bali, smart. He's devotee. Devotee always has intelligence. Bali said, I still have my head. Place your 3rd step on my head. Success. Although Bali had to go to the low planet Sutala, Indra got back his heavenly kingdom. But Vamanadeva became Bali's doorkeeper. So who turned out better? Indra or Bali? What would you rather? Same thing. Arjuna chose Krishna. Duryodhan chose army. Who was the victor? Arjuna. Bali chose Vamana because his guru said, don't do this. Don't do this. You're going to lose everything. Go away, guru. Bogus. All this time you have been engaging me in worshiping Vishnu. Now Vishnu has come. And you're telling me not to worship him? Vamanadeva became his doorkeeper, and it turned out to be very good. Because later when Ravana came to Bali's planet to conquer, but he didn't get very far. Because Vamanadeva, the original soccer player, kicked Ravana back to where he belongs. Go. Boom. Goal! Vamanadeva. Shukadeva Goswami continues. After instructing Indra, Lord Krishna asked him to return to his kingdom in the heavenly planets and to remember always that he is never the Supreme, but is always subordinate to the Supreme Personality of God. That's an important point. Even after liberation, you're still subordinate. Not that after liberation, I become equal to the God. No. Even in the kingdom of God, you still remain servant. Not, you don't become something else. Just like all these idiots trying to become president of the United States. They'll realize, you know what? It's not all cracked up what it is. I'm just a servant. I'm simply a servant. We may think, oh, to be guru, to be king, to be president is something, right? No. You're still a servant. You'll always will be a servant, and that's never going to change. In heaven or hell or Vaikuntha, you're still a servant, so get used to it. You're a servant, me included, not just you, I'm not saying. Everyone, we're all in this together. We're all servants. Haribol servants. Therefore, no need to get, you know, nobody should feel superior. Huh? We're just servants. But always to be subordinate. He also advised him to remain as king of heaven, but to be careful of false pride. False pride. Here, let me explain. You can be full of pride. I am the servant of Krishna. That should give you proud. Yes, I am Krishna's servant, not Trump's. I am Krishna's servant. I don't belong to any of these other people. Go away. I am Krishna's servant. I can be proud like that. False pride is when I think I'm something other than Krishna's servant. That's false pride. But if I always think I am Krishna's servant, pakka. Very good. Feel proud. Just like a young child. I remember this as a young boy, 5 years old. I turned the corner and the neighbor had a mean dog. It was always barking all day long. And one of the sons, he was a bully. So he saw me coming and he let the dog go. And the dog came and bit me right here. And I started running and there was my father. I don't know where he came from. Krishna saved me. As soon as the dog bit me, I was crying and I was screaming. My father picked me up and I felt safe. So a devotee feels proud. I have the greatest father. What's his name? Krishna. Nothing to worry about. I am his eternal servant. He will protect me. Everybody chant the Maha Mantra, please.